So if you're looking for something new, you'll find it in a second. But we're gonna go to the same chapter, Matthew chapter 16. And I hear people say, "Why don't you get something new? Why don't you get go new scripture?" Well, do you have this one yet? The dead raised. Have you forsaken everything and given up your life? Because if not, this is what we need to keep talking about. There's not a building, or not a structure. There's almost nothing that you do on a daily, or have on a daily, or put on a daily, or get in on a daily, or walk into on a daily that didn't have a sketch or a blueprint already made for us. So we're going to talk about the blueprint tonight. There's no building that you can walk into that didn't have a blueprint. If you do walk into a building that didn't have a blueprint, be careful where you're walking. Your foot might go through the floor. Anytime the roof might fall, your walls might be leaning because there was nothing to measure or to build up properly by. The blueprint is the key. It tells the measurements, the length, the width, the breadth, the height. You know the Bible talks about that, right? It tells how high something's supposed to be, how much foundation you need. It tells where everything is. Your blueprint gives the builder all the specifications on how to build. And if the blueprint is followed properly, then you get the desired result. You know, you can go through these websites right now. They got one called Dream Home Source. They got one called Blueprint. Different ones that you can go to. And there's different types of houses and blueprints for people that are looking to build houses that you can find. And then you can find the house for a pretty picture. You see a picture. And then they'll show you a mock-up kind of layout of the house. And then you can buy the blueprint. The blueprint, if followed properly, if it's a good contractor, a good person that constructs, a carpenter and plumber and all these different things of that nature, if they work together and you have a good contractor, then the desired result should be the picture that the thing that you saw that drew you to that blueprint, drew you to want that type of house. That should be the desired result. Well, somewhere along the line, as the church, is why we have a class called Church Unusual, because it's very unusual that the blueprint was given, but the building looks different right now. The blueprint was clear and given, but what we have now looks like a watered-down version of what was intended to be built. There's nothing that you deal with that doesn't have a blueprint. Right now, you're watching on a screen, on a phone, on a tablet, on a computer. That computer had a blueprint. They may not call it a blueprint like they do for houses, but it had a sketch, it had a mock-up, had a blueprint on the specifications of how that device or how that thing, I mean, even if you have a Bible, somebody sketched out and measured how big and how wide they wanted to be and how thick, how many pages, how big the letters were going to be. You look at font right now, all these things are sizes. The clothes that you have on right now, they were sketched. I know you say, no. Even I remember my mom when we were younger, she used to make her dresses when we were younger and we used to be at the old church, and she would make her dress, and it'd be funny because she'd be sitting at the last little bit and stitching the last little pieces in there before it was time to walk out the door to go to church. But she always had these, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm saying I can't think of the word right now, but it was these layouts that she would be able to measure the fabric by and cut it exactly to what the layout was. And it tells you where to sew it, where to seam it, and everything. And eventually you'll get the dress that you were looking for. And so everything about you has a blueprint. Even your body has a blueprint. This is why doctors can take x-rays and different things, but people know where different parts of your body are without even ever seeing them physically. They know what things should be set up in your body. It's a blueprint. And so everything has a blueprint. So we're gonna talk about the blueprint in this class tonight. And Jesus Christ not only laid out the blueprint, but he lived the blueprint in front of us. It's powerful. He is the blueprint. In my other class, I teach, and y'all was in that class last year, Living by the Book. We went over John 1 over and over again, that the Word was made what? Flesh. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Not only made flesh, but dwelt among us. And we beheld him as Son of God. And so now he being the blueprint, everything he says was how to build. All the parables, all the lessons, even the things that he did that we didn't quite understand, was showing us how to build the church. So right here in Matthew 16, again, we're reading now with that connotation of a blueprint. This is going to unfold a little bit more for you. And it says, verse 13, you know, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" There's some say that John the Baptist, Elias, others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, "But whom say you that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Understand what he's saying? And the gates of hell should not prevail against. So now we're talking about building. But before there's a building, there has to be a blueprint. Jesus right here is saying the revelation of the Son of the living God is the blueprint. Not just him being the Son, but you being the Son. Jesus, we're going to flip over in Ephesians 4, and I may be getting ahead of myself, but the process was never, the blueprint was never to build buildings or organizations. The blueprint that Jesus had was always to build the living organism, which is who you are, which is the person that you are right now. It was meant to build you right now into him, into being like him, into being like the Father in the era and the time life that you were born in and the culture and your generation to serve your generation. This is what God has intended. So now Jesus' point was to set the blueprint for the organism, not just the organization. He didn't even send any blueprints out to build buildings. I'll give you a good one, and I know you're going to be like, oh, my God. There's no reason. I was reading. I study Aramaic now, and I'm reading. There's really no reason to believe that Jesus was a carpenter. I know you done built your religion and your gospel on that, but they always say, is that not the carpenter's son? Because Joseph was a carpenter, right? Or they ask, is that not the carpenter from Nazareth? Jesus ain't never said he was a carpenter. He didn't even have the tools to be a carpenter. He talked more about tending sheep and my sheep hear my voice than he talked about being a carpenter. So now we have this idea of this and of that when Jesus actually was being the blueprint in front of us. He was the actual living blueprint right in front of us to show us who we are. So now it says, upon this rock, the revelation of the Son of God, you being the Son of God, I'll build my church. In other words, the called out ones by name, the gathering of the called out ones will be everybody knowing who they are individually as one with God, one-on-one with God, and then one with God. And that is the thing that makes every joint supplies. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll come back to Matthew in a minute because I want to point out some things. Because the blueprint, sometimes when you see a blueprint, you know, from the from a novice eyes, from somebody that's not a contractor, somebody that's not used to doing these things or not learned in building houses, different things. You'll see different things and you don't know what these numbers are. I had a blueprint for a house that I was looking at to build and it was like pages and pages of the same thing, but different writing on different pages. So the sizes were the same, but you had one page is for the electrician, one page is for the plumber, one page is for the carpenter. They had pages for different things. One page was for the AC, the people that was running the air conditioning unit on different pages. It took all those things together to get the structure together. If you're not learned and you don't pay attention, you won't understand what it's saying until somebody explains to you the blueprint. So Ephesians 4, and really quick, we would jump to verse 11. I don't want to read the whole chapter. Verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Listen to what he's saying. Now watch what he gave them for, right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He didn't say to build a new sanctuary. He didn't say to go on the mission field. That's all these things that we describe church as now. He didn't say to make the new choir. And I believe all those things are parts of a little nuances of what we do. But he's particularly here. And all these things that he says, the three things that he listed, perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ, are about the organism, not any exterior thing that's trying to house the organism. These things are personal. And so now he gave people to develop people. He gave a person that is built to show you how to build. So even like right now in this school, we look at apostles should be our example of how to build your personality and your individuality and your character. Don't, you know, I see a lot of preachers coming in. Every time I see somebody talking about they come and get the anointing, I say, up, oh, I'm marking you, up. Oh, I'm watching you because you're a gold digger. You're an anointing digger. You just come in to get what you want. Stop. This is not, some people come because they like what apostle got and they like to see all the stuff that's around here and they come and they sow for that and they do all that and they're missing the whole point that everything came from the character of the person that he is. Not just because he wanted some things or some things showed up. These things are temporal. All this stuff is going to burn. But getting the character of God, the character of Christ, that's eternal. And so now he gave us some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. First thing he says on there is the maturing of the individual, not the congregation, not the organization. And I understand why we do all these things, because this is how we understand. But if my organization is full of weak people, it doesn't matter. Gideon had 32,000, had to send 31,700 of them home. That says a lot about your company if your company is full of weak people. That says a lot about your ministry if your ministry is full of weak people. I see people with tons of people going to their church, filling their church every day. But as soon as one little thing happened, the people run towards the door, right? Because the people haven't, you have to build the organism. This is what the church is about. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of passing that out. Passing it out. Perfection and then passing that out. Listen, so you're perfecting them, and they should be passing it on to others. As we are perfected, we should be perfecting. And this is witnessing. This is preaching the gospel. And as we're perfected, we should be passing the ministry of passing on that same understanding of perfection, that same understanding of oneness with God, that same understanding of being a son should be passed on. And this is what causes the edifying of the body. I don't know if you see these things were in order. These things were in order. Perfect the saints first, then let them pass that out, and the body becomes edified. I'll say it again. Perfect the saints, mature the saints, let them grow up, show them how to grow up into who they are. And it says this in the scripture. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He's literally talking about perfecting you by growing you up into out of whoever you think you were, or whoever somebody told you were, or that weak person that people have downed your self-esteem, or this overly confident in self person that's thinking more how they ought to think, to grow out of that shell and into the Christ that you are, into the Son of God that you are. And then you're able to pass that out. Yep. You're able to pass that out, and then the body becomes edified. Then now we're talking about every joint supplies. Every piece plays the part from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Verse 16, which every joint supplies according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. Watch this. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body has to edify itself. So you understand that this is the process. This becomes the blueprint that God had, the blueprint that Jesus was trying to show us, one, in himself, but then also with others. Most people don't understand this about Jesus, and I say this over and over again, that Jesus did not come to be your superstar. He did not come to be your king. He never called himself your king. He did not come to be your king. He did not come to be the most famous person that ever lived. Jesus came to show you who you were. This is why he says stuff like, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one. That's God. He said, no, don't go tell nobody. Go back to your people. No, you can't come with me. Don't tell nobody. Shh, don't tell nobody. Please, don't go tell nobody. This is why he says things like that. This is why he's sneaking out of crowds. This is why he doesn't show up at the Passover as some great leader. Because he's understanding that if y'all keep putting me on this pedestal, you'll never know that you're actually the one. This is the blueprint. So now, here's the blueprint, right? So now Jesus talks. So we're clear. Everybody say blueprint. So now we're clear what the blueprint is. So he goes on to talk about, he paints the picture, verse 18, because the first thing that catches you is when you're looking for a blueprint of how the house looks. And he said, I said, thou, Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He watched this. Now he's building the picture. So the picture's about to get real, real pretty. Watch this. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Now the picture is painted. So now we say, oh, we got this idea of what the church looks like. You know, the gates of hell should not prevail, and we're going to have the keys of the kingdom. Whatever I say, I'm going to have it. I bind it, it's going to be bound. If I loose it, it's going to be loose. We have an idea now of what the church looks like. We have an idea. But then verse 20, he starts laying down the blueprint, because you realize now the blueprint is when you look at a blueprint, and you should look it up if you've never seen one. I'm sure most of you have seen one. When you look at it, it takes a little bit more study and a little more detail, and it takes some time to build that way. And the blueprint usually isn't as pretty as the house. Well, I like blueprints. I like looking at blueprints. I think it's the most amazing thing in the world just to know the nuances of everything is. But most people don't like that part. They don't like looking at the blueprint. They just want to, here, just go ahead. Y'all go ahead and work on that. I just show me when the house done, right? I'm not that type of person. I like to understand the building of it. So verse 20, here he goes. Then he charged the disciple that he should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. What? Don't tell nobody he was the Christ. I thought we supposed to be telling everybody you the Christ. He said, don't tell nobody. Uh-oh. Verse 21, it said, and my little captain said, Jesus prepares his disciples. Now watch, he's about to lay out the blueprint. Now he gave you the picture already. Now he's about to lay out the blueprint. From that time forth, Jesus was beginning to show his disciples how. Now we skip that word really quick as we read through the story. But he began to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. How what? How what? How the gates of hell shall not prevail? How you have the keys of the kingdom? How whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven? How whatever you loose on earth, be loose in heaven? He began to show them how. Now how was this? Then he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. We know the story. Peter took him and rebuked him and said, Lord, be it far from me. And he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of those that be of men. Now watch this. Here's the blueprint now. Now we get to the part to where now we got some work to do. It's all pretty when you're picking out by the picture. But now when you got to get on the inside, see all the, that's great. See, all, thanks. I don't know if y'all be done, but I'll be learning while I'm teaching. When you get on the inside to build this thing, now you have to go, you're going past the exterior, this pretty exterior that you saw, and now it gets down to the inside of the thing where you have to actually have your specifications on the inside properly in order for the outside to look like it's supposed to. If I do not build properly on the inside, my outside cannot stand. That's powerful. So right here we go. Now it is. Now here comes, here's where the, they say where the rubber hit the pavement. Here's where now you got to put your money where your mouth is, all these different sayings. Here's now where you got to be what you've been talking about. You got to back up that noise. You got to back up that noise you've been talking. Watch this. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Blueprint. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Blueprint. Whosoever loses life for my sake, he shall find it. Blueprint. For what is the profit of man? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is blueprint. He's laying out the blueprint, right? For the Son of Man is coming to glory his Father with all angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now he said, tell you now you got to work. Now he watch this. He says you'll be rewarded according to your works. He's telling you you got to work. These are the things that have to be done in order for you. You know, we scream and shout when the apostle or the pastor say, Lord, the bless, he's going to bless you. But then when it's time to give, the shout is not the same. Or we scream and shout when we're about to get, but the giving. Why don't we scream as loud for the giving of our lives? I never hear nobody preach a sermon and people shout and start screaming and catch the Holy Ghost about crucifying yourself. To this date, I've seen people shout and scream and run around church and fall out about Jesus paying the price, and they cry. He died on the cross and nailed to the cross and the thorns on it, and they cry and scream and catch the spirit and fall out at the altar and lay and roll all over the floor. I've seen that tons and tons of times, but I never seen nobody catch the spirit when it said you got to die. I ain't never seen nobody take off running or catch the power of God or catch the Holy Ghost or begin to shout at the altar when they say, hey, you got to give your life. You got to be crucified. You got to die. You got to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow him. You got to leave mothers and fathers and friends and family and wives and husbands and children for my sake and the gospel. You got to take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, but seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. When I hear that, I don't hear nobody screaming about that one. Nobody catch the Holy Ghost and roll over the floor and say, God touched them on that one, because it causes us to do something. I'm firmly believe that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we call the Holy Ghost moving is just being emotional about what we want. But the truth of the matter is, I never seen Jesus fall out, scream, shout, none of that stuff. I saw Jesus say it like it was, and it happened. I saw him be very, very practical about what he's saying. And now he gets to this point. Everybody all excited. We thank you, Lord, for the keys of the kingdom. And thank you, Lord, that we can bind it on earth. I'll have what I'll say. And right now, I can be up in church right now, and people are getting to shouting. And then I'll say, but you got to die. And I guarantee it'll be crickets. I wish I had a little cricket sound effect right now to put on this video. I guarantee it'll be crickets. Never, not one time. I'm thinking about this right now. Out of all my years, I've been in church all my life, I never seen nobody shout and catch the spirit over having to be crucified with Christ. Not once. Never saw nobody shout over this scripture, if any man had come in and let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Every time I said the scripture, every time I preached, every time I heard it preach, it's quiet in the house. And people trying to figure out how they can get around that. Jesus laying the blueprint. So now, right here, right now, the reason we have this literal class called Church Unusual is because massively across the world, the church has been built not like it was blueprinted. We got great buildings and synagogues and great preachers. You got your favorite preachers. We got churches packed, 2 and 3 services and cell groups and all these different things we created. And yet the organism, the individual, the person that Jesus was talking about in the first is weak and broken down. Why haven't we been seeing more things? You got your favorite preacher. I see them and they're famous and everybody likes them. Everybody re-quoting and retweeting them. But I don't see nobody getting up from the dead. I don't see all these problems in these cities being eradicated. I don't see what's going on. I'm looking for these things. I'm looking for these things in myself right now. When I'm walking, I'm seeing change. Where is the change? Where is the Jesus lookalikes? And so now here's the blueprint. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. That means you can't come. You can't come unless you deny yourself. He told the rich young ruler, hey, I can turn like, he said, look, one thing you're lacking, go back, sell what you have, give the poor, then come follow me. I ain't never heard nobody shout at that scripture. It's always the ones we think, he's alive, he's risen. Are you risen? Him being, they say, as he is, so are we in this world. Are you risen, really? Or are you still laying with the dead society that's around you? This is why we literally have to have a title called Church Unusual, because the church has not been built on the individual person being enabled, being perfected, and then being able to pass out that perfection that edifies the body. So now we got to go back to the blueprint. There's a scripture that says, and it comes time to tear down and to destroy and to root up. Mm-hmm. And then to plant and rebuild, right? The plant and the build. So there's a time, there's a lot of structures in our minds and in our understanding and our beliefs about church and that need to be torn down, uprooted, you know what I'm saying? Destroyed. And then replanted and built. And this is what this is all about. We need to take time to jump in here and see, he took the picture and everybody's excited about the picture. Most people came to the church because of the picture. What? I get to go to heaven. What? They got a place called hell that's going to burn me up. What? I have everything that I need more. What? I can break this habit. What? I can be a good person. What? I can do all those things. Yeah, that's the picture. Okay, that's what I want. That's what I want. And so we pray the prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sins. Jesus be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart, be my, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, and cool. And so now we clap. But no. You hadn't got to that yet. Somebody should have told you in the disclaimer that it's time to die. Somebody should have told you in the disclaimer that it's time to give your life. When it says, he who is in Christ is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. That's not some, I know we like to call it a spiritual transaction. That's not some supernatural thing that happens to you. That's something that you submit yourself to. This is something, Jesus says, you don't take my life, I give it. And what did he give his life over to? He gave his life over to a beating and a torture and a bleeding out and a breathing out and a humiliation. He gave his life over to this. He forfeited everything that he thought that he could have identified himself by, because he knew that his identity wasn't built in all those things. His identity wasn't built in his skin or in his prestige in the community or in the miracles that he was doing or in all the things that people were saying about him. His identity wasn't built in that. His identity was in one thing and one thing alone. So Jesus gets stripped, literally gets stripped. He literally got stripped of his clothes. Literally got stripped of the things that were covering him. Got stripped down to the bare minimum. And there's more stories I have to tell you about that, but I better tell you at a later time of things that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. But now he's stripped because he knows his identity is not in those exterior things. Though he slay me, Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. My faith is not built in my physical life on this earth. My faith and my belief and my blueprint is only built on the blueprint of the Father. The blueprint of my Father God, and that blueprint, the length and the breadth and the width and the height. What can separate me? He's talking about the build. So we must change. This mostly right now, most of you, I, and most people that we know have a rebuilding to do, so that others that come in that hadn't been familiar with the building of the body of Christ, right? I'm not talking about the synagogue. I'm not talking about your favorite church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about how the organism is built up. How are you built individually? We have to tear down, destroy, and root up, and then plant and build so that we're able to pass out the proper way to build. You know, Me as a person, one day when I have children, I'll teach my children the ways that I have. So if my ways are off, my ways are not working right, if my ways are then my children will build somewhat of the same way that I am. And we pass that on. If I meet somebody, if I witness to somebody, or evangelize somebody, I will teach them to build the same way that I built. So we've got to be mindful of how we're building. Jesus Christ is the blueprint of the church. Not the building, not the organization, but the organism, the living being that is Jesus.